Part 2, 10188 AG. Paul Atreides, age 12, 6 months after the end of the War of Assassins between House Akaz and House Moritani, 3 years before House Atreides leaves Caladan for Arrakis. I do not regret any of the challenges of my youth. Each experience shaped me into what I am today. If you want to understand me and my motivations, look backward. Conversations with Muad'Dib by the Princess Irulan. Disembarking from the Highliner at Ix, the Lady Jessica rode with Paul, Duncan, and Gurney on one of the many shuttles to the surface, whereupon they descended through the crust to the cavern city of Verney. Jessica saw her son gazing at the immense enclosed space, fascinated by the artificial sky, graceful support girders, and glittering columns that extended from cavern floor to ceiling. The open area pulsed with activity, whirred with the sound of smoothly functioning machinery, and Paul said, "My father told me of his time studying here with House Vernius, but his descriptions did not do justice to this place." Gurney struggled not to show how impressed he was by the view. "You will find it time well spent, young master. A worthy tradition, like father, like son." Duncan stood rigid, perhaps remembering when he had come here in the battle to restore Romber to the throne. "Your invitation here demonstrates to everyone that House Vernius has restored normalcy to Ix after the Tleilaxu invaders were ousted." Jessica took her son by the arm. "As for me, I'm looking forward to seeing Bronzo's mother again. Tessia has written me often to tell me how much she misses Caladan." "Then we should get to the Grand Palais," Paul said. "It would be rude to keep Bronzo and his family waiting for us." He was barely able to restrain his eagerness to begin his new adventure. The past year's experiences had dramatically matured Paul. His first trip off-world to Akaz, his first taste of battle during the War of Assassins on Caladan and Grumman. Duke Leto had commented on the boy's early transition to manhood, and Jessica could not help but agree. Whenever she guided him through Prana Bindu exercises, pushing the boundaries of his mental and muscular abilities, she had begun to see him as an adult. Even at age 12, Paul was more prepared for the hazards of his life than many of the Lansrod nobles she had met. Jessica thought Paul's eyes looked wiser now than they had even half a year ago. With businessmen, Chome representatives, and industrialists arriving and departing in a constant flow of shuttles, the city of Verney was a bustling blur of activity. The small Atreides group made their way from the shuttle arrival area toward the inverted palace structure that glittered amidst the other industrial buildings. From the gliding tram that whisked them along the ceiling, they could see a dizzying view of diamond lattice columns that supported the ceiling, as well as the skeleton of an immense highliner being built on the wide cavern floor. The Spacing Guild constantly needed new ships, and construction continued at a furious pace. When they reached the expansive portico station of the Grand Palais, Paul pointed to a tall, red-haired boy whom he knew to be 11 years old.
"There's Bronzo."
Overhead, crystal chandeliers glittered with myriad prisms, while hidden sonic vibrators in the walls played recorded Ixian folk songs. Among the arrival party, Jessica was glad to see her old friend Tessia, a fellow Bene Gesserit concubine sent from Wallach Nine as a partner to the exiled Prince Romber after the temporary overthrow of House Vernius by the Tleilaxu. Romber had taken sanctuary on Caladan for years until he rallied enough of his people to oust the invaders and return Ix to normal rule. As the Earl of Ix now, Romber Vernius was by far the most distinctive in the group greeting Jessica. A patchwork man made of artificial limbs and cyborg systems, reassembled by the Sook Dr. Wellington Yui after a horrific Skyclipper explosion. Dr. Yui himself, Romber's personal physician, also accompanied the welcoming party. Jessica remembered him from his years on Caladan when he tended the recovering Romber. Earl Vernius moved with an uneven, strained gait, as if his synthetic muscles were no longer coordinated. Welcome. Welcome, my Atreides friends. He lurched forward, his eyes, one real and one artificial, fixed on Paul. The son of my dear Leto. And Jessica, Duncan Idaho, Gurney Halleck, how pleased I am to see you all again. Bronzo looked at his father, then joked. He's also pleased because this gave him an excuse to skip the Technocrat Council meeting. The cyborg Earl straightened. This is much more important. Friends and family. I promised Duke Leto that his son would feel at home here. Paul bowed formally. I present myself to the noble family of Ix. Thank you for hosting me and providing me with this experience. Tessia extended her hand for Paul to take in formal greeting, then gave him a quick hug. There are always things to learn. We'll have plenty of time together. And Jessica, I look forward to renewed conversations with you. It's been a very long time. She looked at her husband. But the Earl really should be getting back to the council meeting. What would Bola Gavati do without you, my dear? Romber made a rude grunt. They do what they like, no matter what I say. He leaned forward, speaking conspiratorially to Paul and Jessica. 4 times in the past 2 years they've tried to stage accidents to get rid of me, but I haven't been able to prove anything. When Duncan and Gurney reacted with alarm, the cyborg nobleman merely grinned. Not to worry. I've promised Duke Leto that you'll be safe here. And my father made me promise to keep Bronzo safe, Paul said. The other boy flushed. I thought I was supposed to watch out for you. Romber gave a sober nod. Exactly. You both gave your word to your fathers. Now you are bound to watch out for each other, guarding and supporting each other in all possible ways. That is the bond between Vernius and Atreides. A pledge between friends is more binding than any legal document. The cyborg man tried to reassure Jessica, Gurney, and Duncan. Don't worry. I know who my friends and enemies are. Still, the way the technocrats keep whittling away at my responsibilities, I'm becoming a mere figurehead. Soon enough, I won't be worth the trouble for them to make an assassination attempt. Then we should stand up to what they're doing, Bronzo said. I'm going to be Earl someday. Romber swiveled his head. Wait your time, my son, before getting your hands dirty. Be patient and learn everything you can. As they stood among the crowds in the portico station, a lift came down through the ceiling from the surface, and 3 black-robed women emerged. Jessica spotted the delegation, and some instinct warned her not to draw their attention. The stern-looking Bene Gesserits, 2 of them reverend mothers, glided like self-important crows through the people in the reception foyer as additional trams docked. Next to her, Tessia also stiffened, then reacted with clear alarm. What are they doing here? Seeing the 3 Bene Gesserits, Paul lowered his voice. Why don't you want those women to see you? I'd rather not have to answer their questions. They would want to know why we are here. Paul remained perplexed. It's no secret, Mother. You came to see Bronzo's mother. You and Tessia were friends, and I'm here for off-world training. Why should that raise questions? The sisterhood always raises questions, lad, Gurney said. Your mother is right. Tessia watched the 3 sisters carefully. I don't think this is about you at all. The tall, wrinkled one in front is Reverend Mother Stokaya. I met her once at the mother school, and it was not pleasant. I had to recite the litany against fear every night for a week just to get to sleep. Be on your guard. In that case, I bet they didn't come to purchase new technology for the laundries on Wallach 9, Paul said. Romberg gave a loud laugh. Vermilion hells, even a 12-year-old boy is suspicious about why they're here. Yui frowned deeply. Unanswered questions don't always signify sinister dealings. He stared fixedly at one of the arriving Bene Gesserits, his sallow face turning pale and troubled. But he did not explain why the strange woman so captivated his attention. Tessia tried hard to pretend that she wasn't bothered, but she kept her voice low. We should go inside the Grand Palais. The sisters will tell us what they want soon enough. For now, we've got more important business. Bronzo, kindly show our guests to their quarters. And Jessica, I will speak with you later. Bronzo led them into the main building, devoting most of his attention and excitement to Paul. You'll be staying with me. I promise. We'll get along famously, just as our fathers did.